Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
I'm joined by Hall of Famer John Smoltz. Smoltzy, tell me this. What's harder, winning a Cy Young or an Emmy Award?
Oh, man. Winning a Cy Young. It takes a lot longer to happen. You know, it's funny when you mention something like that. I just go back to all those years of being predicted to win and just feeling like a failure. But in 96, fortunately, I was able to at least get that off my back because that was starting to bother me.
Download the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Good morning to you. It is a Wednesday. It's a wacky Wednesday. It's a wonderful Wednesday. Maybe it's a weird Wednesday. Let's hope it's not a wild Wednesday that knocks you off your game for the rest of the week. But what we do know is we made it to Wednesday. Your hump day, our hump show. We got an hour to go. And honestly, this is one of my favorite weeks of the year in sports radio. I really enjoyed. I love the All-Star game. It's on my bucket list to go to a baseball All-Star game. From the interactions between pitchers and hitters when they're actually live and mic'd up, to teammates mic'd up, to Shohei getting serenaded by the fans in Seattle, to Julio Rodriguez stealing the show and, well, nearly bringing the American League all the way back, to a 32-year-old first-time All-Star who not only has a go-ahead home run in the late stages to give the National League a long-awaited win, but also earned the first MVP of an All-Star game ever by a Venezuelan, to 8-year-old Braden rounding the bases before the game started, waving to the crowd the whole time, flashing those pearly whites, getting handshakes and encouragement from the American League defense, the infield, to being greeted by his hero, Julio Rodriguez, when he crossed home plate. To what I consider to be the most powerful moment of every All-Star game. I don't miss it. Stand up to cancer. And as the announcers go quiet, the cameras pan all around the stadium. In this case, 47,000 plus, if you include players, umpires, those who are working the TV set, media members, All-Stars themselves. Really powerful to see them all holding up signs, and in most cases, signs with names of specific people for whom they are standing up. I was thinking about our friend John Kincaid, among those people in my life who are battling cancer right now. And want to make sure I mention him publicly as he goes through his battle with colon cancer. Kicking its butt, no doubt. Two chemo treatments down. John, we're standing up for you and standing up to cancer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You'd have to be hiding under a rock not to know that Shohei Ohtani and the traveling circus is the biggest thing in Seattle over the past couple days. But man, we had some other players who threatened to steal the show. One of the reasons I dig the All-Star game in baseball is because unless they play offense and defense, right, unless they give maximum effort in both cases, well, we're never getting out of there. It actually resembles a game. It looks like a real baseball game. If it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, well, then maybe it's a duck. That's not the case for the NBA. It's definitely not a duck. It's a goose. It's not the case for the NHL. It's more like a Canadian goose. Not the case for football. I don't even know what that is. It's more like a pigeon now, what they've done to their All-Star festivities. Nah, this is an actual game with actual defense. And it was on display right off the top.
40 home runs, 80 stolen bases. Here's an opposite field fly ball deep to the track. And a leaping grab made by Garcia. Highlight play to begin the All-Star game. I tell you what, he was battling the sun big time on this. You see him look right there and then leap at the last minute. Acuna has tremendous power to all parts of the park, and what a start. Cole on the benefactor of a great defensive play.
Cole's 1-2 to Freeman is popped down the left field line towards the corner. Rosa ran into the wall. He makes the catch. What a way to begin the Midsummer Classic. Oh, one great catch in right, one great catch in left. A Rosarena doesn't waste any time.
That's Joe Davis and John Smoltz, the voices of the All-Star Game on Fox. And yeah, first you have Adelise Garcia, who loses the ball in the sun and then is able to twist and turn and at the last second leap up and grab this ball, snags it out of the air before it drops behind him. So Ronald Acuna Jr., he couldn't believe it. It certainly did look like Garcia had lost all track of the baseball. Maybe he did. And then, boom, he realizes it just in time to be able to make a play. A Rosarena a little bit different. He was tracking the ball all the way, but he was able to track it to the warning track. That's a little bit too much tracking. He was able to race it down. And so initially, instead of fireworks, we got the great defense at the top of the first. But Freddie Freeman, he was ticked. He was even more perturbed in the bottom of the first when a Rosarena hit a single and got on base. So then we had Freeman, who was mic'd up along with his teammate Mookie Betts, talking to a Rosarena.
You can't take hits away and get hits. You got to pick one. That is not fair. He says he's sorry, guys. Everything's okay. Everything's okay. He said he's sorry. Nice catch, dude. That's a great start to your game. Yeah, real good.
Yeah, what are we, five batters into the game? We got an early MVP candidate for the All-Star game.
Oh, and he's running.
Right out. Takes on. In time. How about that shot from Murphy and 10 from Garcia?
I mean, it was an active first inning for a Rosarena, who, as you know, when he gets introduced now, he does the pose where he crosses his arms and he kind of spreads his legs. His daughter was doing it as part of the home run derby, which was really cute. She can't be more than 2 years old, 2 or 3 years old. So at the top of the first inning, he robs Freeman of what was at least a two bagger. Then he gets a hit. Against, was it Zach Gallen? It was Zach Gallen, right, who was pitching for the Diamondbacks. Then he gets caught stealing.
And he's running.
Freddie Freeman providing the commentary. I love Freeman. I do. I love Freddie Freeman. I love Mookie Betts. Those two guys were hysterical.
Everything's okay. He said he's sorry.
Later, as Shohei Ohtani is up to the plate, again, these two are still providing the Dodger commentary.
Swing and a miss. One ball and two strikes. They're chanting, come to Seattle. Do you guys want to start your own chant to Shohei?
That would be tampering.
That would be tampering.
I'm not doing any of that.
It was cool to hear these guys mic'd up, talking to one another. We also had Nathan Eovaldi and Corbin Carroll, who were facing each other, right? Pitcher and hitter. And they were very cordial. I'm really impressed with any pitcher who can be mic'd up, carry on a conversation, and actually throw pitches. Remember, last year it was Alec Manoa. Oh, man. I hope Nathan Eovaldi doesn't get the Manoa disease. He doesn't get bit by the same bad luck, because we love Alec Manoa.
Oh, you're sexy. Here we go.
He was mic'd up last year when he was on the mound. Was it L.A.? They were in L.A., right? Yeah. And after that, Jay and I were all about Alec Manoa. We were big time fans. Saw him pitch in Boston. And where is he now?
He had a really good start right before the break. Phew. So let's hope he can.
Let's hope it's redemption.
Going.
All right. Well, Nathan Eovaldi, don't say we didn't warn you. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know why Derek Jeter didn't get any popcorn, but that was also a big topic of conversation on Fox.
Derek, they're going to share any of the popcorn or cotton candy with you? What, you get David? Anything?
Oh, that's all David right there, David and Alex.
Nothing for the rookie, Joe.
Yeah. All right, fair.
Barely got down on the shelf before Poppy took three handfuls of it. Okay. I mean, take it easy.
This is what happens in an all-star game. Everything is up for grabs. Anything and everything you want to talk about, might as well. Throw the show prep out the window. Might as well.
I mean, take it easy.
Poor Derek Jeter. Although I bet he can afford his own popcorn.
I'd say maybe.
Probably a little bit of the cotton candy as well. Maybe a drink just to wash it all down.
Although I saw that the uniforms, like the jersey that the All-Star Game ones in the Mariners team store, $490.
Why?
That's a lot.
Why?
That's a lot.
Here's what I know about the uniforms. The biggest complaint that people had on social last night is that they don't wear their team-specific uniforms anymore and how we need to get back to that. Because making the All-Stars wear matching uniforms is a travesty. If that's your biggest complaint, I think baseball's doing something right. There is really not a whole lot to complain about. This is one heck of a show. I find it highly entertaining. I laugh. I stick around for the poignant moments. I really did enjoy all of it. I love the smiles on the faces of the players. That's probably my favorite part, other than some of these moments like Make-A-Wish and Stand Up to Cancer, is that these guys are flashing the pearly whites the whole time. Shohei Ohtani, after he walks, is out there on the base paths, yucking it up with Hispanic players, which, by the way, is yet another indication. You could hear him speaking English. Did you hear him? Yeah, he was caught on mic. You could hear him speaking English with some of the other, his opponents. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be an event that showcases the best and brightest in a different light. And I'm never disappointed.
That one time when they tied.
Okay. I don't remember what year that was, but yes, that was a travesty while we're lodging complaints. But I really can't complain about anything else. I love the atmosphere. Seattle did a bang-up job. And we got a story, too. Are you ready? This is crazy. But it's from the category of you can't make this stuff up, with the game hanging in the balance in the eighth inning.
Not going. 2-2 to Diaz.
Is hit in the air to deep left field. Back it goes. Elias Diaz puts the National League in front. At 32 years old in his All-Star debut, a go-ahead home run.
Well, you never forget your first All-Star game. You are never going to forget your first potential game-winning homer. Wow. What a moment for him.
Yeah, super cool. And there's more to the story. You ready? Elias Diaz, 32 years old, a first-time All-Star. Can you imagine what this means to him? And his mom was in the stands, which is really amazing. I know it's through his interpreter, but definitely emotional to have mom on hand.
Incredibly special for me, you know, to have her here. A lot of emotions with everything that we've been through, all the sacrifices that she made for me. It was really special to have her here for me.
How cool is that? 32 years old, a first-time All-Star, a dream come true. He hits the two-run blast that puts the National League ahead in the eighth inning, earns the All-Star MVP award, the Ted Williams MVP award. First ever Venezuelan to be tabbed for the honor. Yeah, I think that All-Star games generally shouldn't be taken too seriously. And I often forget that the other ones are even going on. And I do not watch them unless there's some morbid curiosity. For instance, the new flag football format for the NFL. But even the NFL can't get it right. They have tried and changed formats, tweaked it for years now. They've changed locations. They can't get it right. Baseball has got a classic, the Midsummer Classic, if you will. Shohei Ohtani, all the rage, though. Stop me if you've heard this before. Not only were the fans chanting, come to Seattle, but the media fawning all over him. We had a chance to get, what else is new? We had a chance to catch up with Maury Brown of Forbes, who was there in Seattle for the circus, the traveling circus. And when he was driving back from Seattle to, I think he said he lived in Portland, last night he joined us on the show in our first hour. Wait until you hear what he has to say about what was happening, the storm around Shohei, the Shohei storm, if you will. And before we even take our break, if you missed it, I respect Ken Rosenthal with every ounce of my being. This is not a knock on Ken Rosenthal. He's a very well-respected reporter, insider. I know him personally. Worked with him in the past. I nearly fell out of my chair when I heard him say on the Fox broadcast that Shohei Ohtani is, and I quote, I'm not misquoting, arguably the best player of all time. What? I love Shohei. I would love to meet him. I think he is an incredible ambassador for baseball. He's unique. He's once a century, maybe that. He's a global phenomenon. All of those things are true. But the best player of all time?
Come on, man.
Of all time? Centuries. Okay, maybe not centuries. A century and a half of baseball. And he's the best player of all time? After 2.5 years of being at the top of his game? Two and a half years? Yes, he got into the bigs in 2018. He really didn't pitch much in 18. Couple starts is what I remember. 19, he didn't pitch because they wanted to make sure he could hit. He was nursing injuries. Remember all that? 20, he got back to pitching, shortened season. He was coming off essentially a year and a half without it. So 21, 22, 23. We're halfway through 23. 2.5 years of the unicorn at his best. All right, has the MVP season, 46 home runs, 100 RBI, pitched all the way through. Last year, runner-up to Aaron Judge as the MVP. This year, leading the majors in home runs. And if you heard on the broadcast, right now his stats would indicate that he's giving up fewer hits per 9 innings. Amazing. He's had a game in which he had double-digit strikeouts and 2 home runs. Nothing at all to take away from what Ohtani is doing. Jay and I are going to see him when the Angels are in New York. Like, that's the game we picked just because we want to see Ohtani.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. This is not a knock on Ohtani. Only that I'm going to need to see more than 2.5 years before we crown him the best player of all time. So Jay has made it a little easier for you. But actually, there's a kind of a debate going on. Would you put Shohei in the top 10 of all time after what is a little bitty sample size? And again, this is not a knock on Shohei, but the fact that he's doing both is what makes him great. If you take away the pitching, he's not the best hitter in the game. If you take away the hitting, he's not the best pitcher in the game. Now, maybe he would be if he was only doing one or the other. If you missed it, he told Ken Rosenthal that in order to prepare to pitch every fifth day, he sleeps a lot. I'm jealous. Very jealous. Just another reason to be jealous of Shohei Ohtani. the mental preparation that he has to go through to be ready to not only hit while he's pitching, but to hit every other day. The man doesn't take a day off, and I think that's part of his greatness. I love his humility. I think he's wonderful for the game of baseball globally. It's exactly what baseball wants. He's gracious. He's generous. He's got a great smile. He looks like he's having fun. He just wants to play baseball. All of those things. But arguably the greatest player of all time?
Boy, you better knuckle up.
I was flabbergasted. Does anyone under the age of 80 say flabbergasted? Yes? Do you say flabbergasted?
Yeah.
When was the last time you said flabbergasted?
I'm flabbergasted that you don't never heard me say that before.
Jay, don't be a liar. You do not use the word flabbergasted.
I do say it, but I say it like, it's a word that like I'll use, like I'm aware that I'm saying it.
Really?
Yeah.
But when? To your mom at home? Mom, I'm flabbergasted.
Yeah, like, but again, I'm saying it like I'm purposely saying the word flabbergasted, knowing it's like not a normal word to say. But mm-hmm. I say it all, like I'm aware that I'm saying it to just be like, oh, like that's a weird word to say. Mm. But I do say it often.
If you say it 10 times in a row, it sounds so odd. Flabbergasted, flabbergasted, flabbergasted. Flabbergasted. Okay, well, next time say it here so I can hear you say flabbergasted.
All right, I'll try to work it in.
It's very strange now. I can't ever use it again.
Flabbergasted.
Flabbergasted. Flabbergasted.
It is weird.
I'm flabbergasted at Ken Rosenthal. Flabber, I tell you. Flabbergasted, no less. Anyway, we put the question up on Twitter and Facebook, After Hours CBS, and then our show page. Would you put him in the top 10? All time. Not right now. Top 10 all time. I mean, wow. Flabbers. All flabbers. We're back in the dumpers. Isn't that what Dan Campbell said? Back to the dumpers we go.
We're back in the dumpers again.
Hey, by the way, your friendly reminder, NFL training camp start in under 2 weeks. I'm flabbered, I tell you. All right. It's all fun and games till somebody's flabbergasted. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Down the right side, they're running down there to try and retrieve that baseball. That's another big time blast, and here on this Sunday, once again, it's showtime.
Getting you to the good half of your week, it's the Hump Show on After Hours.
Yeah, gotta get over this hump, and then we are on to the good stuff, if you will. Thanks for tuning in, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our friend Maury Brown of Forbes in Seattle and was our eyes and ears at what was, I thought, an entertaining All-Star break. As he was heading home last night, he joined us during the first hour of the show. And yeah, Shohei Ohtani. I asked him, how much bigger is the buzz than just the baseball component?
Well, that's a great question. I think that there's a cultural element to it. I mean, he's a unicorn in a lot of senses, right? In the sense that we have not seen a two-way player like this probably since Ruth. So, I mean, it really is that. I mean, he's young, and seems to have, the world is his oyster right now. He really is going to be able to make some decisions and do whatever he really wants to do. And people are kind of hanging on every word that he has to say. Somebody asked him, who's your favorite player on the All-Star team? And he asked if it was the AL or NL, and they went all of them. And he said Mookie Betts, which, of course, every Dodger fan is going to go, oh, my gosh, right? That's it. And then somebody asked him, what do you think about Seattle? And he goes, I've spent two off seasons here, so I really like it. And so, of course, everybody in Seattle is like, oh, he must be coming here. But really, I mean, we're not going to know. I mean, nobody is going to know until the off season where he ultimately winds up staying. But, I mean, it really is. He is right now, I think, the center of the baseball universe.
And if you haven't checked out Maury's Twitter, you should, because he's got a photo from inside the press room where Ohtani was holding court. Does look like every single member of the media packed in there. So I can imagine then the press box emptied out quickly, at least for a short time.
Yeah, well, and, you know, they have overflow for the media. So they can't fit everybody in the press box. So they'll use part of the seating around there. And we had great seats this year for it. The unfortunate was it was at the far end of the ballpark. So you literally saw members of the media running to get downstairs to the interview room, right? And we, like, you walk in the door, and, of course, it was wall-to-wall people. So, you know, again, I have not seen anything like this. Maybe not since, I mean, Barry Bonds during the height of his home run chase is the last time I can remember any kind of hype like this. And it's just something that you'd have to see to believe. It really is like this incredible thing where the media is, that's all anybody can talk about right now. And, you know, largely because we know he's going to go somewhere other than the Angels. It's just a matter of when. So, you know, again, it's great for baseball. The commissioner's happy. Tony Clark from the Players Association is happy about stuff. And again, it was, you know, the players looked like they had a great time. The weather was perfect.
Mm. It's interesting, too, because I feel as though he handles it so calmly and with a lot of humility, but maybe doesn't quite understand the furor around him. Or maybe he does, and he just handles it like a pro.
No, I think it's the latter. I think he's fully aware of what's going on. He is very humble. His answers are pretty short. He doesn't really, you know, elaborate and get too wild. He's pretty evenly keeled. He'll smile, you know, when there's questions about stuff around certain players or when he's pondering, you know, like, how do you say who's the best player that you're around without offending people? Or like, you know, like there's political implications about when you say stuff, right? He seems to be, you know, self-deprecating on some levels. I asked him, you know, what he wanted to do in the second half, you know, given where everybody's, you know, there's this break and then we go into the second half into the stretch. He says, I'm not going to change anything that I'm doing. Now, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? But given where the Angels are at and this storm that's going around him right now, you know, he could say, hey, you know, maybe I'm going to go ahead and pull back, or I'm going to lean into it a little bit more, given the fact that there's so many injuries, specifically Mike Trout.
Right.
But again, he seems just really evenly keeled about the whole thing. And really aware of where he's at. Nothing seems to be going to his head. He's very, very humble in that regard.
Maury Brown is with us after attending the All-Star festivities in Seattle, covering it for Forbes. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Rob Manfred held court on Tuesday. What stands out from what he had to say about baseball and every other topic that he covered?
Yeah, I think the big one was that he's really honed in. A major topic was the rule changes. And the fact that, you know, that attendance is up, television is up. They're looking very closely at the age demographic. They're seeing a younger demographic, which is, of course, really important if you want to sustain your game. You can't have 55 and older people doing it, or you won't be able to have the game for very long. So, look, that was really important. Now, Tony Clark, the head of the Players Association, spoke before Manfred, and the players would like to see in the postseason – the pitch clock extended a little bit more. They actually asked for that when they started the design for the pitch clock, when they wanted to see it at the beginning of the season. They didn't get Manfred to go ahead and do it. They say those conversations are still going on. But it sounds to me like the league wants to hold the line on this for a couple of reasons. One, the players have been working with it, right? They've had that sort of thing. And they will tell you that most pitchers are delivering pitches 6 seconds before the pitch clock ends.
Mm.
The other thing is the belief will be, well, if they ask for the postseason, they'll ask for it again during the regular season because, of course, they wanted that in the first place. So some of it is political. Some of it, I think, is practical. Nobody wants to see postseason games decided by the pitch clock. So that was a big topic of discussion. Then the other stuff was largely some questions about when expansion might happen. And that was really important because there's a belief that finally the A's and the Rays, there's a little bit of, you know, light at the end of the tunnel on these ones. And he said that they would look at expansion right away. Now, they're not going to jump into it willy-nilly, they understand that, you know, certain markets and what comes with it. There's a lot of small markets, so where they would take revenue sharing, but they see that the expansion fees, which could be $2 billion each, right? So it would be $4 billion total would come in to the current 30 owners, and that's a healthy paycheck. Now, you said that once they get this thing with the A's and the Rays sorted out, it would be a pretty quick thing. So, you know, it could be 5 years from now.
There's a lot more with Maury Brown, who has a great business sense. He covers baseball for Forbes magazine, a senior contributor. And to get his perspective around the Shohei circus, as well as the other buzz in Seattle, was pretty cool. And yeah, if you haven't seen the photo of the media room after Shohei Ohtani exited the All-Star game, it is, like he said, insane. The rest of that conversation is on our podcast, and you can find the link right after the show is done, After Hours CBS on Twitter or on our Facebook page as well. Thinking about the comparisons between baseball and football, and how Shohei is a global phenomenon, no doubt. In this country, still though, football is all the rage. And I'm comparing the popularity a little bit of, say, a Patrick Mahomes versus a Shohei Ohtani. So different. Except the training camps are about to get underway, and football then grabs the center ring of the circus. <I don't... laughs> A little bit with Peyton and Patrick Mahomes coming up. It's never a bad time of the year for that, or a bad show for that. It's our hump show, middle show of the work week, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update.
Chicken parm. That's so good.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Omaha!
All right, look, I'm a little biased, but for my money, there is simply not a harder position in sports than being an NFL quarterback.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Peyton Manning has got a new project. He is big into his productions. Thank goodness, because I don't know what I'd do without Monday Night Mannings now. I have to cut myself off at halftime, because otherwise I can't really pay attention to Monday Night Football. I will look forward to the Manning brothers.
I do watch Monday Night Football.
Yeah, actually, Peyton won an Emmy for Monday Night Mannings, for the Manning cast, as they call it, on ESPN2, and his brother was pretty jealous. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So Netflix has this brand new series called Quarterbacks that follows Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, and Marcus Mariota over the course of a season. And as it turns out, all three of them in very different modes over the course of 2022. Mahomes, obviously the MVP, Super Bowl winner again, bum ankle at all. Kirk Cousins, great numbers, lot of high-flying highlight reel moments with Justin Jefferson and others. Vikings flame out in the playoffs, though. And then Marcus Mariota, who loses his job, ends up getting benched in Atlanta. I'm really looking forward to this series, though. Producer Jay is going to password share with me. Oopsie. Don't tell. That's our little secret.
Netflix is listening.
You think?
Honestly, they might.
Netflix is spying on us. Peyton Manning was a guest on the Pat McAfee show, which we can still use the audio for now. Why does he think the quarterback position is the toughest in all of sports?
Before you actually get to the execution of the play, you got weather. You can't hear.
Weather.
Right? You're on the clock. You got 300-pounders trying to get you. You got guys running 4.240 trying to intercept you. Oh, then I have to actually tell 10 other guys what to do. And now I have to get the snap and actually execute the play. I think it's hard. Look, you have about 2.4 seconds to make a decision on every single play. Every time you throw a ball, three things can happen. Two of them are bad, and yet you have guys doing it at the highest level.
Is he whining? I feel like he's whining.
A little bit.
Maybe searching for some pity. Of course, Pat McAfee's a former Colt, and so they have that tie. Yeah, Peyton, come on now.
You got weather.
I mean, are you really going to give us the weather as a reason? Like, it's only the quarterback who has to deal with the weather, not the wide receivers who can't find their footing or the running backs who have to make cuts. The DBs who are trying to keep up with the wide receivers. And, I mean, my goodness. Sounds a little bit like he's whining.
I just love how, like, he finally got to, like, oh, yeah, you got 800-pound guys trying to tackle you. But, no, the first one, the weather.
The weather. You had to tell 10 other guys what to do?
No, oh, that weather.
Okay. Hey, good or bad, you got to be sold out, Peyton.
When you sign up to play quarterback, you sign up for all of it, right? Some guys just sign up for the parades and the confetti. Oh. They don't sign up for those three interception games. They don't sign up for getting beat on that last second field goal. That's part of playing the position. That's why they pay you the big bucks to handle all of it.
Wow. It's like on a crusade right now to explain why quarterback is not a position anybody should relish.
Some guys just sign up for the parades and the confetti.
And the weather, clearly. You got the weather.
You got weather.
Wow. Peyton Manning. Just, it's in a new light. I'm not sure I like this, Peyton. Oh. On the Pat McAfee show. All right, so Patrick Mahomes is not on the Pat McAfee show. He was on his team's Twitter, Chiefs Twitter. And he's really excited about this series, which is narrated by Peyton, called Quarterbacks on Netflix.
I'm excited for everybody to see this, especially Chiefs Kingdom, and see the journey. I mean, everybody saw the Super Bowl and was excited for it, but they're going to see the step-by-step journey of how we got there, not only myself, but of the whole team, and so I'm excited for everybody to see that. Everybody sees the Sundays, they see the game days, they see the Super Bowl, but they don't see that day-to-day grind, not only myself, but the whole team. And then they also get to see my family and how they support me, and I think Chiefs Kingdom knows them very well, but they're going to know them even better.
Now, see, I could be really snarky and ask if that includes his brother, but that would just be rude. So I'm not going to ask that question. Jay, your head snapped up.
Oof. I saw something. He took the whole family on a vacation recently, like extended family and everything, except for Jackson.
Oh, wait, you actually know his first name? I did not know his first name. I'm impressed that you are that up on the family tree. You're that clued into the family tree.
I don't know Patrick's kid's name, but I know his brother's name.
Oh, shoot. Don't tell me this. I know. He's got...
Well, actually, I do.
They have unique names.
Bronze, right? Or something like that?
Bronze. Bronze?
Was that his... I think Bronze is either a middle name of one of them or a name of one of them.
Well, now... Okay, don't Google it yet. Star. No, let's see. Summer. No. It's, his daughter has a... it's not Princess. All right, now you have to Google it. It might be Bronze. Bronze Mahomes. Bronze Mahomes. Why not Gold Mahomes? Why not?
Bronze.
Bronze.
Sterling and Bronze.
Sterling! I knew it was. I had a couple of S names.
Starling.
Starling Marlin. Sterling and Bronze. So the next one's going to have to be a reference to gold, correct?
You'd think, if trend holds.
Because Sterling Silver, Bronze, that's second place and third place. What about first place?
And the youngest one, or I guess the not the oldest, is going to be the gold.
Golden. Cash cow. Golden goose.
They name him Golden Goose Mahomes.
As we say, training camp start in just under 2 weeks now. That's just, wow. I need to have more Patrick Mahomes. What are you smiling at me for? Let's go.
I go back on like Tuesday, dude. So I gotta watch my weight right now. Coach Reeves gonna have me running like the first day. So I'm excited for it. I mean, I told everybody after the Super Bowl ceremony and we got the rings. I was like, man, we're on to the next now. We're trying to do whatever we can to get back in this game, be in Vegas, winning that Super Bowl. So it's gonna take a long journey. We'll be in St. Joe's preparing ourselves and getting ready to go.
Jay, I mean, as much as I enjoy us staring at each other, I was really looking for Patrick Mahomes.
You got weather.
That's just wrong. Oh, goodness. No, what's wronger on this edition of the show? Mark Cuban trying to tell us how Kyrie Irving is misunderstood? Or Peyton Manning complaining about the weather as a quarterback?
You got weather.
All right. All right. But Mark Cuban did, in fact, try to tell us that Kyrie Irving is misunderstood. I was planning on getting to tennis on this edition of the show, but it just didn't happen. Too much of Shohei Ohtani being arguably the best player of all time to Peyton Manning complaining about all the circumstances surrounding the quarterback position. There's a lot of respect there, of course, but come on. The weather? You got 800-pound men coming at you. I mean,
I have to actually tell 10 other guys what to do.
Well, the world's tiniest violin. Or maybe it's Mark Cuban explaining why Kyrie Irving is and always will be the salt of the earth.
We traded for him because we wanted to be a long-term piece, you know. And I think Kyrie's just misunderstood.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Everybody sees all the noise and everything around him, but when you actually talk to him, I like him. You know, he's open, he's smart. You know, he's always looking to learn things, and to me, you know, he's an interesting guy that's just misunderstood.
I saw someone sent me a tweet or sent us a tweet for Ask Amy Anything, inquiring if we've ever run out of things to talk about, or have I ever run out of things to talk about? Well, no, the answer is absolutely no, unequivocally no. In fact, most of the time I don't get to everything on my list. Like I was just mentioning tennis. We've got some Zion Williamson that I didn't get to that I wanted to talk about. But he also followed that up with, do you ever have dead air? Oh, yeah. There are times when I'm speechless. And Mark Cuban just rendered me speechless. Poor, poor, sad Kyrie Irving.
Go back to Cleveland. Who's
misunderstood? I don't know. Did I misunderstand when he went AWOL for a week and didn't tell his coach or his
Boston
teammates?
Boston hates you.
I guess I misunderstood. Have a great hump day. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!